Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into this Thursday edition of Sports Talk here as we turn the calendar to December 1st. Along with NFL analyst Mike Dettillier, I'm Christian Garrick, Charlie Long at Master Control, taking your calls on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers, will lead off this hour, getting you set for LSU and Georgia in the SEC Championship game. And this is where we kind of launch. We got plenty of conversations surrounding the Saints and Buccaneers, the injury report, etc. But as you heard there in the Sports Flash, college football is expanding the playoff format from 4 to 12 teams in 2024. Under the new 12-team format beginning in 2024, the field will include the top six conference champions and six wildcard teams. After the top four teams get a bye, the other eight teams will play first-round games at the home stadiums of the better-seeded teams. Okay, there's a little bit of an incentive. You get to host a home playoff game. Another entry will be the highest-ranked non-Power 5 team. The New York Six Bowls, Rose, Sugar, Orange, Cotton, Fiesta, and Peach will alternate with quarterfinal and semifinal games. Pardon me as I'm still working through this COVID rehab. Still got a little bit of a cough. I'm not a fan of the expansion of the playoffs because I think it's other teams, other conferences outside of the SEC that are just throwing a fit because the SEC's relevance in the Final Four in the college football playoffs. Okay, so the first four teams get a bye, right? So what would that mean? The five would host the 12 in all likelihood, right? How often do you think that 12th team in the country is going to beat the fifth-ranked team in the country? How often? Over a 10-year span, let's play it out. 2024 to 2034, they'll play 10 times. What do you think? I think it'll be 8-9, 9-1, 8-2, if that. So is it really healthy to expand from a relevant standpoint? And I think you even further devalue the bowl games by expanding the playoffs. Because now, unless you're in the playoffs, that 12 teams, you're playing in some other bowl game, and you're a potential draft pick, a high draft pick, you're not playing. You're gonna diminish those bowls even more. They've already been diminished by the playoffs. So now they're less valuable. Now they're less attractive. And for me, again, it goes back to how often are we going to see a 12 seed beat a 5? I don't think very often. Like I said, over a 10-year span, that record is likely going to be the 5 seed 8, the 12 seed 2, maybe 9-1. And I think that's being a little bit generous. I think that there's that big of a difference between the 5th-ranked football team in college football and a 12th-ranked team in college football. There is. And then what happens if that 12 does beat the 5 and they're playing one of the top four teams then? Analyst, we got word that in 2024 the NFL is going to expand the playoffs from 4 to 12 teams. Initially, my first blush is I don't like it.
Man, I love it. I've talked about this for years. I'm a big proponent of expanding it. I think in a year where, you know, we had so many people say, man, college football is going down the drain. Name, image, likeness, transfer portal. It's the most successful season and the most watched season and most listened season of college football ever. Record-breaking numbers. What can we do to make it better? I think expand the playoff system. And will an 8 seed get in every once in a while? Or you know, maybe so. Or 10th, maybe so. But, man, I like the format. And also, too, in this sort of situation, it keeps your best players playing. You have a lot of them. As soon as the season's over with, that's it. I'm out. I'm not playing for nothing. What I got to play in the Fiesta Bowl you know, and I'm not in for the Final Four with a shot for the title, I'm not playing. I'm training for the draft. So I think you'll see more of those players stay. I think it's going to enhance the interest in college football. Sometimes change is good in life. At my age, people say, man, why you say that all the time? Because it's true. Sometimes you got to change in life. And I'm a big two thumbs up. Timmy Brando and I, we did a deal at the Coaches Association a few years. This is what year? We in 2020, toward the end of it. And we talked about it. We were both, man, Tim wanted to go to 16. I was like, man, listen, I'll stick with that 12. But I like the expansion of it, and I think it gives you that little word that means a lot. Hope. Hopeful. You know, if you the fifth, really? Six, eight, it, ten,
is
12.
Is there really? I mean, okay, if we look at the format now, if we had 12 teams in the college football playoffs right now, it would be Georgia's the one seed, Michigan as the two, TCU as the three, South Carolina as the four, Ohio State as
no,
the
no,
five.
No, 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 that's USC.
So, what'd I say?
South Carolina.
I'm sorry, Southern.
Man, Cal. South Carolina's ready to get in.
No, sorry, Freudian slip there. Southern Cal. But Ohio State would be the five seed. Tulane would be the 12 seed. So you mean to tell me that that would be a game that I would be attracted to watching? Because I think Ohio State would beat Tulane badly.
They
might.
They'd
beat them badly.
But also, too, Christian, you got to remember, we have opened up a door now that you can't close the Pandora box. Gambling.
Oh, there's no doubt this is money-driven. Networks and gambling.
You hear
doubt.
The train. In the no background.
No question.
And so you might have those type games, and it could potentially be a blowout type situation. But I do think, you know, in a five-year span, I bet you see a 9, 10, or an 11 team get into that Final Four or maybe into the final game. Somebody's going to be Cinderella, okay?
How often is that going to happen?
Now, I don't know, but I'm telling you, there are going to be situations that Cinderella is going to come to the ball. And I think we see it in college basketball. We watch, okay, look all the teams that get into the March Madness.
Yeah, and how often? We just saw, a 16 beat a 2 not too long ago.
Yeah.
And that took forever.
But my thing about it is, I think in this short Tartar series, and you know, and Bob says this all the time about, you know, when they won the state championship and Shaw was really rolling at that time, and, you know, if we'd have played a best of seven, you know, they'd have probably beat it. But it was a best of one game. And so you better come with your A game because somebody can beat you. So I like it. I understand people's arguments against it. I really do. I understand it. But I just don't think that way. I think in the long run, people are going to like the 12-game, 12-team format and how it's put out. Does it affect the bowls? Yes. But the bowls were being affected anyway. It was being affected anyway.
You
but I do think that what is driving this, and you hear the choo-choo train, once you tagged, then there's no going back. You know, they want this, you know, because it keeps the interest up about college football. And for people that said, this is going to be the death of college football, my thing is, you the same people that tried to tell me during the spring and the summer it would be the death of college football, this name, image, likeness, and transfer portal, and it's made it quite an interesting year. Oh, who in July would have told you TCU is going to be in here? No one.
Well, that's the point.
No one.
This is where, if you're a coach of a team like TCU, heck, Tulane, Willie Fritz, and this is a format that you can conceivably, it's proven, they would have reached the 12-team
yep,
format.
Sure
then
enough.
I'm putting contract bonuses in there. That's an easier attainable contract bonus for me as a coach. Not to make the Final Four. If I qualify for the top 12,
okay,
I get an
who would bonus. LSU would have played in now?
LSU wouldn't have made the top 12.
They would not have made the top 12.
Right. And this under this current
Under
rankings.
That format. Under
format
that
and
format.
Under this current rankings yeah. And how the College Football Selection Committee has ranked.
How many SEC schools?
All right, we got Georgia, there's one. Alabama would be two. Tennessee would be three. And that is all I see.
Okay.
3.
And so that would sound about right, you know, because I thought maybe LSU would squeeze in and be in the 4. But no, I get it.
Kansas State right now would be the 10 seed facing number 7 Tennessee.
Okay.
That's without Hendon Hooker, okay?
But injuries like what happened with Hooker are going to happen.
Sure.
The good news today is we heard Brian Kelly say that Jaden Daniels will play. Hopefully he's going to be effective, and the ankle injury won't affect him that much. But, Christian, I just like it. I think it is going to open up avenues and interest in college football that maybe we haven't seen and people have wanted.
Maybe.
I really do feel that way. It's the same way. Listen, I'm pro player here and the ability to leave. Now, I think you have to have certain guidelines on when you can leave a team. I think that has to be a harder in or out into that. And for the transfer portal, name, image, likeness is the wild, wild west. I mean, I don't know how you're going to control it. You didn't control it before, so you ain't controlling it now.
It's not having the impact that a lot of people expect.
No, it's not at all. And I think the transfer portal gives you an opportunity. You look at Lincoln at USC. He's got 53 new players on that team. You look at what Brian Kelly has done at LSU when he was down to around 40. When players left and players quit and they made business decisions and, okay, you got to do it some kind of way. And do you want to all play 18, 19-year-old freshmen? He was lucky with 4. But I think that it's going to open up a lot of different things, and you see the numbers, TV-wise, radio-wise, for all these games. It's amazing. In 1 year, Ohio State, Michigan was the highest – most watched television game in Fox history. Okay, this wasn't played at 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night. It was played 11 o'clock in the morning. Oh, okay. So, because we had a guy, man. Oh, prime time is only 6-7 o'clock on ESPN. What, man? You got to be kidding me. Not anymore. Not anymore. That's not quite the case. So I think what we're seeing here is an expansion of the system. I like it. I really do. And I think similar to transfer portal, name, image, likeness, we can like it, dislike it, but you better get used to the change because it's happening. And it's happening with the 12-team playoff.
Starting in 2024. Do you think it's good or bad for college football? 504-260-1870. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
First injury report of the week out for the Saints and 49ers. Remember, they play on Monday night, so usually comes out on Wednesday. This is their Wednesday,
so,
even though it's Thursday.
Thursday is Wednesday, and Friday is Thursday.
Right, right. It's one of those, like on Spaceballs. Everything that's happening now is happening now.
Yeah.
What do we got, Mike?
Yeah, we got a few illnesses in there. And, boy, you know, you just look around and everybody's got something wrong with them. And, you know, Malcolm Roach didn't no practice today because of an illness. Kentavious Street, Kevin White. So you understand that. If you out and about, they got a lot of people with it like
it's
that.
Not just pertaining to the NFL. There's a lot of folks,
man,
I know, friends I know that
just
are
regular
right
people, man. Somebody got something wrong with them. And P.J. Williams didn't practice. He had the knee injury. Peyton Turner with the ankle injury. Bradley Roby with the concussion. Again, we talked about Malcolm Roach with his illness. Juwan Johnson with the ankle injury, and JT Gray with the hamstring. Did not practice. Limited practice. Josh Andrews, Mark Ingram, Jarvis Landry, Ryan Ramczyk, Rashid Shaheed with a back injury. Good news, Pete Werner, back at practice, limited with the ankle injury. But man, I got to say, Caden Ellis,
he's played well.
Man, he's really. I don't know who scouted Caden Ellis when he came out of Idaho. They did a hell of a job. He's done a really, really good job. So, but I'm glad to see Pete Werner back, and also Marshawn Lattimore with the lacerated kidney and rib injuries. He's limited, and hopefully we'll get to see him this week. He's matched up really well in years past with Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. We've seen that. You know, he's kind of goose-egged, Mike Evans. And this game is a lot about matchups. It really is. And the Saints have done a really good job being able to match up against Tampa Bay defense against their offense. And the frustration part with Brady, we've seen it in numerous games. Man, him so frustrated. And now, Christian, I hate to say it because I've seen this before with athletes where, you know, Father Time has its place for everybody sure. in every profession. And Father Time got his finger on the button. You know, he's fixing the if he hasn't rang the doorbell, he sure got his finger on it. And we see it, their offense. I watched last week against the Browns, and in the final two series, he had four passes he completely missed. Guys were open, too. They were open, and he missed them. And that you'd have never thought it would happen with Brady the way he's played. And with two timeouts, they decided to take a knee.
All right, we'll shift gears on a dime. Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers, the LSU Fighting Tigers. Father Time doesn't have the finger on the doorbell with him for sure. Chris, how are you?
Man, Chris is just starting good. Yeah, and Father Time hitting that button.
Hey, guys, I'm good, man. I was listening to that injury report and thanking goodness that Brian Kelly gave us a good one earlier today.
He sure did.
For LSU, yeah. Certainly needed that good news.
So Jaden Daniels, he's going to play, Chris, according to Coach Kelly. What I want to know is you've watched this team for a long time and very closely. The last two games, it seems like Jaden Daniels went back to the hesitant Jaden Daniels that we saw earlier in the year. And is that more predicated from the defenses that he's been given, our looks? Or is that something that he's gone, he just fell into back into those old ways?
You know, I really think it's got more to do with what the defense did. I mean, you know, we mentioned after the Arkansas game that, you know, they basically said we're going to rush four and we're going to put everybody else in coverage. And, you know, there were times where I think he held the ball a little too long. But he was, you know, you go back to that interception he threw early against the Razorbacks. He was looking for neighbors out in the left flat and suddenly looks up and there's a Razorback defender. He tries to pull it down. It comes loose. It ends up in the hands of another defender, and that's the turnover. And so it wasn't a big surprise that, for the most part, Texas A&M guys did the same thing. I mean, they rushed four most of the night and put everybody else back in coverage. And watching the film back, even watching it real time, but certainly watching the film after the fact, there wasn't a lot of separation for these receivers. I mean, there weren't a lot of open guys. Now, earlier in the season, there were probably legitimate complaints that there were receivers running free and he wasn't releasing the football and he wasn't being aggressive enough. But I think the last two games, the defense had a little bit to do with it. And credit Texas A&M, they did a good job of staying with LSU's receivers. The big question I have is I don't think Georgia has to do that. I think they've got a good enough defense. They got a, you know, phenomenal front defensive line that they'll be able to just use what they normally do, and they've got a great secondary. So the question becomes, if you do have your receivers, if you're Jaden Daniels, one-on-one, will you go back to trusting the receivers to put the ball in the air and make a play? Because that was the difference in that three-game stretch, Florida, Ole Miss and Alabama, where he trusted those guys. I don't think it was as much mental in the last two games. I think the defense had some to do with it. Now I wonder if the mental aspect will be a factor, you know, on this stage against this team when they're probably not going to play that same defense. I think he's got to go back to trusting his guys to make the play.
Chris, I think one of the keys in this game is that LSU can't get stuck on a third and eight, third and seven situations. So it's good news that Josh is back at running back, because I think you're going to need to make those third down plays manageable. Because if you get into those third and seven, third and eight situations, I saw Tennessee get into that situation with Georgia, and it wasn't good. And it's all the different looks Georgia gives you. They shift around. They sometimes come with a safety or a corner blitz, and then sometimes they got eight in coverage. You know, they rush in three. And sometimes it's delayed. Kirby gives you a lot of different looks there. I think a key in this game where everybody, well, they're not going to be able to sustain 9, 10, 11 play drives. You know, for the most part, that's true against this defense. But you can't get into 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8 spots against Georgia because you know what's going to happen. You're going to have to hit a chunk play, but you're going to have to run the football better than you have maybe the last – two out of the last 3 weeks. You haven't run it as well as you could, and I think that's going to be a key here. And certainly with Josh and John Emery and Noah Kane, you have that threesome of backs that you're not putting your quarterback in a 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7 situation continuously, because if that happens, then, you know, Georgia's going to feast on that.
Yeah, no question, Mike. I mean, I, you know, everybody was excited to hear about Jaden Daniels being healthy and practicing this week. But for me, it was really, okay, that's wonderful. We have to have that. But where's Josh Williams?
Yes.
And to hear that he's coming back is big, because I spent 10 years in Georgia, and I got a lot of Georgia Bulldog fans. And going into that Tennessee game against Georgia, I said, you better watch. It's going to be screen pass for 3, run for 4. It's going to be 3rd and short, and they're going to hit something big. And then suddenly early in that game, that didn't happen. Georgia didn't allow that. And to your point, it was, you know, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 11. And that took Tennessee completely out of their rhythm. And that will be the case here for LSU. They got to be able to stay on schedule. They got to find a way to have it 3rd and short, make it 3rd and manageable. And I think the running game is where that comes from, because that's exactly what Texas A&M did last week. I mean, they were forcing LSU basically to declare, hey, we're going to have to throw the ball on 3rd and long. And again, like you said, Georgia is so deep. I mean, it's so funny to get their game notes this week, and they don't have a 2 deep, guys. They've got a 5 deep at basically every position. And so they can bring that pressure from different points. And when you get in 3rd and long, sure, they can put it back in coverage, or they can bring a full house blitz. There's so many things they can do when you get in that type of situation. That's why I think the running game is so important. And I think when you have Josh Williams back, it's unfortunate we don't have Armani Goodwin, who's out for this season.
Yeah.
But to have those 3 guys where you can at least keep some relatively fresh legs, and if they can just do the job of 4 yards here, 5 yards here, and then allow Coach Denbrock and Jaden Daniels to open that offense a little bit, then that forces Georgia maybe to stay in their base a little more, and they can't be as exotic.
Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, LSU and Georgia in the SEC Championship game Saturday at 3 p.m. Chris, you've gotten to call and watch a lot of teams and watch grow up. What was it like to watch this team grow up, especially after their loss to Florida State to start the season, and just how they've matured?
You know, it's been fun to watch this group, just because it's not just individuals that you've seen grow, guys. I mean, you've seen position groups suddenly. You know, the question mark was the linebackers coming into the year. The question mark was, how are you going to replace your corners? What is your secondary overall going to look like? The running backs. I mean, who is going to be the one guy? Is there going to be one guy, or are you going to have to run by a committee? And then ultimately, Jaden Daniels in and of himself, just what he's been able to do since game one through the season. And I think that speaks volumes for the staff, speaks volumes for what Coach Kelly's talked about since day one, is we're going to do these habits every day to the best of our ability with full energy, and the results will take care of themselves. And I think the fact that the players bought into that is why that at this point, really since the Ole Miss game, I thought LSU's been playing with house money. Now, I do understand the fan base, the passion here that last week was very disappointing. But, you know, again, it's been said probably 1,000 times this week. You ask anybody in August, would you take playing in the SEC title game if it meant stumbling your toe against, you know, Texas A&M? I think most people would take it, and most people would be thrilled to have 9 wins at this point.
Yeah, and Chris, the other thing, too, is everybody says, well, you might have Georgia overlooking this game. They're going to be in the Final Four anyway. Only thing I know is Kirby's been there 5 times. How many times has he won it?
Once.
He ain't looking past this game, and I think he'll have his team ready to play in this game. They're a different-look team from a year ago, because they had more depth a year ago on defense than they do today. Now, that might be sound crazy, but it's the absolute truth. But they got beat in the SEC championship game last year by Alabama. People forget that. You know, they beat Alabama in the championship game for all the marbles, but they lost the SEC championship game. I think you're going to get Georgia's best punch here because I think this team says, you know what, man, we've been here before. We haven't won it. And we want to walk away with that SEC title. We want to win the national championship. You get it. But, man, that SEC championship is special for Kirby when you look at that record and what's happened. And I think he's put a lot of emphasis on that this week in getting his team ready.
There's no question about it. I mean, I talked to Jeff Nancer, who's been covering Georgia sports since he was a newborn, I think. And yeah. I asked him, I said, hey, this is the story. There's all the pressures on Georgia, but now they don't because they're going to be in the playoff no matter what, regardless of Saturday. And he said, forget all that. Yep. He said, I have to believe in Baton Rouge, SEC titles, SEC championships matter. They matter in Athens, Georgia. And he said that very thing. He said, you know, it's become kind of second nature that Georgia's been in the SEC title game since Kirby took over. Yet he's 1-3 in his previous appearances with the win over Auburn back in 2017. Plus, this is a team, as you pointed out, lost that championship game last year to Alabama. Many people thought, well, maybe it got them refocused and then they went right through to the national championship. But they also didn't remain undefeated. And I know for a fact this week in Athens, they're talking about finishing the second regular season 12-0 and trying to keep that perfect record, something that, you know, was done by LSU in 2019. So I don't buy the story that all that Georgia, this doesn't matter. It really does matter. And, again, I think they're going to get their best game. LSU's going to get their best game. And they're going to have to bring their best game. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Real quick. They have no transfer portal guys on their team. Think about they lost 15 guys to the NFL draft. 7 others signed undrafted free agent contracts. They lost 13 guys in the transfer portal. They don't have a one guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive.
That's unreal.
I said, can you keep this up? Can Georgia keep this up in the era we live in, NIL and transfer portal? Man. Jeff's answer was he thinks so. And when you look at this roster, guys, you're looking at a Georgia team that certainly has their pick of the litter in the state of Georgia, which is a hotbed of college football or high school football. But then they're pulling guys out of New Jersey. They're pulling guys out of West Virginia. I mean, they got the job that Kirby's staff has done has been impressive. And I think those first couple of years when everybody was trying to compare Kirby to the previous coaches that were so close but couldn't get it done, that's the difference. He was doing the hard work in the recruiting, and now it's paying off.
Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. Go have fun up there on Saturday. Have a good call.
Come out with a W, Chris. Thank you, brother.
That's why we play the game.
No, that's it, baby.
All right, we'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Mike and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Big John and Metairie, what's going on, Big John? You're on WWL. Hello, Big John.
Christian, another question for both of y'all, actually. If the Saints beat Tampa Bay, and I look at the schedule, there's a good chance that they could beat the Falcons and the Panthers and end up at 8-9. And if Tampa ends up at 8-9, and we're 4-2 in the division, and they're 4-2 in the division, how does that work?
It goes with the next tiebreaker, I believe. I got to look it up, but I believe it goes common opponent head to head.
Yeah,
it goes
head common to opponent. Head.
So if what the Saints did and the Bucs did against common opponents, both the Eagles, teams like the Eagles and the Browns and stuff like that.
And listen, that would be crazy, Big John, if you'd have said that before the season. You take a look at that schedule today. I mean, for all four teams in the NFC South, you got opportunities here, I agree with you. The winner will probably end up with an 8-9 record in the NFC South.
Big John, thanks for the phone call. We'll step away and come back to Jonathan. We ran long with Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Right back to our Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and text lines, we find Jonathan in Lake Charles. Go ahead, Jonathan. You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Jonathan. How you been, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Listen, I wanted to call you guys early this week to kind of say, you know, the little LSU Saints connection with one losing and the other one winning. Well, with both of them dropping the L, I guess that's all – going bye-bye now. But, listen, I was calling about the conversation about the 12-team playoff. Do y'all remember something called the BCS?
Yep.
You know, yeah. The BCS didn't really have that lead-up excitement, you know what I'm saying, unless LSU was playing. But then all of a sudden, you know, they started coming out with this 14 playoff. And, you know, in the beginning, people was like, you know, 14, you know, whatever the case may be. But then over the years, we started getting excited. The SEC started dominating. And then you had more and more people getting excited about, especially me, man. I was kind of lined up my whole New Year's Eve day for them two games. Now you're going to the 12 teams. And now you're about to start changing the narrative. You're going to have a Pac-12 team. Imagine this. A Pac-12 team and an ACC team or a Big Ten team in the Sugar Bowl. You know, Big 12 and ACC and SEC always play in the Sugar Bowl every year. So now you got a different fan base coming down to the Big Easy, enjoying the good food, enjoying the beignets. So it's changing things up. You know, Mike D just mentioned about an hour ago, change can be good.
Yes, it can.
So this 12-team playoff is going to kind of like put a shot in the arm with the college football playoff. And, you know, just imagine an ACC team or an SEC team going to the Rose Bowl or, you know.
So, Jonathan, like you're in favor. You're in favor of it.
I'm ready for it, man. Let's go.
All right, Jonathan.
Me too, brother. And I think you made some good points. And you know what? As we get older, sometimes we're resistant to change, but I like it because you know what? It makes life a little more interesting. I love the unknown.
Yeah, I'm old school. I'm get off my lawn kind of guy.
Get off my lawn!
I'll own that. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.